Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 10:05 British Summer Time. Today is Thursday, August 8th, and this is a replacement audio for the last night's audio on the 7th. We've had some technical difficulties and the audio file was lost. Let me recap the major themes that that sort of dominated the markets yesterday. In Australia, the market was down really quite heavily, and that was following a short-term overbought condition, and it has steadied a bit in here today. But considering the fact that we've had such an impressive rally, then the chances are that we are into at least a period of some consolidation. A number of the more developed markets in Asia were weaker yesterday, not least Taiwan and Korea. They both pulled back really quite sharply, and they've been moving pretty much in tandem for the last while. And they really will now need to find support above their late June lows if the medium-term upside is to be given the benefit of the doubt. And the Indian market continues to deteriorate. It was a bit firmer, at least on the Nifty yesterday, but the banking sector hasn't really shown any real evidence that demand is returning to dominance here just yet. And since the banking sector has been a leader in terms of timing for pretty much the last 3 to 4 years, we really would need to see it starting to find support and really starting to get some short covering in order to sound the all clear on the Indian market. It is interesting, though, that the consumer sector has been leading in India, not least ITC, which is a subsidiary of British American Tobacco. And they're not just a tobacco company, but they also do snack foods. And that share has pulled back quite sharply in the last couple of weeks, but it hasn't experienced nearly the same amount of deterioration as the banking sector. And the RBI has been leaning really very heavily on the banking sector, and they're trying to squeeze some of the excess out of the system. What they will, of course, be focusing on is the fact that gold is pushing higher in here, and they've been trying to limit the imports of gold, but also that oil is at a new all-time high in rupees. Their stated aim in pressuring the banking sector has been to support the currency, and so far they haven't had a great deal of success. So another thing to watch with India will be the rupee, and if we start to see that the rupee has found a meaningful low, then that will also likely be of benefit to the stock market because it will encourage foreign investors to get back in. The Chinese market continues to consolidate, and it has held this upward bias for the last month now, and that looks likely to continue. Yesterday in Europe, Mark Carney's first foray into the public as the new head of the Bank of England was greeted quite positively by markets following an initial pullback in the pound. It rallied really quite firmly, and that would suggest that the pound has found at least short-term support and that we're going to see some additional strength in here. And where the pound has been particularly weak over the last number of years, it has got some base formation characteristics, not least against the Australian dollar. And the Aussie dollar was quite weak in here yesterday as well. The Japanese yen was reasonably firm, and that followed through with some weakness in the stock market yesterday. And when we think about just how much the stock market has been moving really in lockstep with the currency, then the outlook for the currency does look like we're going to see some additional ranging in here, and that is probably going to translate into additional ranging on the Nikkei, provided we can continue to see the progression of higher reaction lows holding for the Japanese stock markets. Then this can be viewed as a consolidation with a view to reasserting the medium term bullish outlook over the medium term. And on Wall Street, the Dow and the S&P were all a little bit weaker in here yesterday, but not in any kind of dynamic fashion. And while they've been largely range-bound for the last couple of weeks, They are looking a little bit tired in here, and some additional consolidation of recent gains can't really be ruled out. But considering that we haven't had real downward dynamics, then nothing has really happened to shake the bulls out of their complacency. And really, it would be larger downward dynamics similar to those that we saw at the peak back in May that would really help to confirm that that supply dominance is being encountered up here in the region of 1700. And in the absence of that, then the chances are that we're just going to have another one of these little pauses, which is likely to find support in the region of the 200-day moving average. We continue to see that there is this quite impressive tailwind in terms of monetary policy. And while the Fed continues to debate whether it will taper its quantitative easing or not, economics are improving in the US, and there's a large degree of debate about how reliable the job numbers are and what the quality of the jobs are that are being created. But we can conclude that jobs are being created. And while the pace of the recovery isn't nearly as impressive as in previous occasions, we are in a recovery type scenario. And the types of things that would generally point or lead as indicators in terms of economic expansion are looking more positive. And it is worth pointing out that jobs numbers are a lagging indicator really by definition. So when we think about where the monetary tailwind is, the Fed has been perhaps the largest of those monetary tailwinds, but it is by no means the only one. And the Bank of England remains a fountain of liquidity, and so does Europe, and indeed so does Japan. So when we think about exactly where the monetary tailwinds are likely to be, what the Fed actually does is, of course, incredibly important, but it is by no means the only liquidity tap out there. And when they do start to rein in their quantitative easing, then that is likely to have an impact on Wall Street in particular and in other markets as some of the leverage is unwound. But it also means that we will see a rotation, and where the US dollar has been the carry trade of choice for quite some time, that's now being unwound. And we'll see some other funding currency start to gain prominence, and there are a number of opportunities out there. But the Japanese yen, while it remains range-bound in the short term, does look like it is going to weaken additionally in future. And the yen carry trade and the yen as a potential funding currency for leveraged traders remains probably the base case scenario over the medium term. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and we'll update the audio again this evening with today's action. And I think with that, I'll leave you, and thank you for your time.